difficulties right before this. I had to log back in. Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to Edge of Wonder. We're your hosts, Brontosaurus Ben and T-Rex Rob. That's me. And we all know Lindsay wrote that. If you couldn't tell, we just had the newest Jurassic World movie, and it had us both actually really shocked. We were messaging each other in the theater the entire time.
Yeah, we were like, dude, did you see this? Like, yeah. I can't believe they put this in here.
We probably need to work on our theater etiquette a little bit, but when you hear why we were messaging one another, you'd probably do it too. So do you remember the original Jurassic Park, which taught us to actually think about whether science is ethical before jumping into experiments like cloning? Well, it seems like not everybody learned that lesson, because what we're seeing in the real world is what they seem to show us right on screen. So are real-life supervillains doing Jurassic World-level genetic engineering? What are the implications of genetic modification that we already know exists, and how is it moving into a destructive territory? Well, that's what we're going to get into today with a crazy deep dive into dinosaurs, technology, and of course, movies.
But before we get into all of that, remember to follow us on Rumble so we can keep bringing you free content for you to share with your friends and your family. And for our full uncensored live with an exclusive Q&A, come over to rise.tv for the second part of the show. On Rise.tv, we have Edge of Wonder series, shows from other content creators, movies, and comedy, all on our bigger platform so that we can give you back as much as possible for supporting our work with your subscription. It's just $9.99 a month. And if you're watching this live, our community and the Rise chat is right there now, already making us laugh before we've even started. So we hope to see you there, and we will see you out
on the edge.
On the edge. Well, new intro music.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I like that.
Awesome. How are you doing, Rob?
Good. Actually, like just 2 seconds before we went live, StreamYard froze. So I had to rejoin, and then I was just like, oh my gosh, is it working? Am I here? It was pretty crazy.
Crazy. So yeah, you guys, so we watched Jurassic World, and I was actually very stressed out through the whole movie. And it's not because of like dinosaurs chasing everybody, but it was not. The overall theme was like really, it actually was stressing me out, because I'm like, oh my gosh.
It was very, very close to real life.
Dealing with this in real life. And like here, it's like they spell out everything so clearly in the movie. And I'm like, it's just for ordinary people. I'm looking around. It's just like, it's like, do you guys see what's in this movie and the inspiration they got it from? So
CEO was definitely like Tim Cook, is that his name?
Apple Tim CEO. Cook is his name. Yeah.
Tim Cook, like, with Steve Jobs' attitude and with the control of Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Control of the world. Yeah. Honestly, I was actually really disappointed that they revealed everything up front, where it was like, oh, you know, we have Jeff Goldblum is in this. We brought back Grant. And, oh my gosh, his name just slipped my mind. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. The actor played Grant. And then the girl.
Laura Dern.
Yeah, Laura Dern. And then
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, but who's the actor who played Grant? Oh my gosh, I just like know. my mind.
If you give her a minute, though, Lindsay's gonna look it up.
He's actually an amazing actor. He's been in so many movies, especially in the 90s. Like, he was in Event Horizon as well.
I was gonna say that he was in Event Horizon, and after that, I could never really look at him the same, because that movie was the creepiest movie of all time.
That movie was the creepiest movie of all time. Sam I would Neill. Definitely agree. Sam Neill, yeah, dude, yeah. He's such an amazing actor. And I just kind of wish they would have hide the fact that they all three of them were in it. Like, maybe they could have had Jeff Goldblum, like, instead, just kind of like, you know, mentioning him. But it was like, there was nothing. I kept hoping that there was going to be some kind of shocking element to this and there wasn't, except for the premise of what the whole thing is based out of. And honestly,
it was honestly just a summer action movie. But that storyline was creepy.
The storyline itself was creepy.
The storyline was creepy.
I mean,
it was very accurate.
Yeah, it really was. And I feel like we're not even giving much away because there's not, like I said, there's really nothing that the trailers didn't. If you watch the trailer, there's really nothing else that's like super shocking in the movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, but overall, I thought it was really good. I mean, there was a lot of elements from the original one that they used, and I don't know. I was just kind of like, I don't know. I think also I was just so stressed.
I really liked that they tried to pull in the actors from the original movie, you know?
Yeah.
Like that kind of
makes the movie and a lot, and with the new actors, you know, it really does make the movie really well. And, you know, they're all like great actors, but you know, and like, so here's this movie that you have giant locusts feeding on crops.
Like Jurassic era locusts.
Jurassic era locusts. Yeah, they're like basketball sized locusts that are swarming the crops and eating the crops, but they're not touching the crops that are bioengineered. They're only touching the like independent organic crops. And they've been like genetically modified to do that. And then it's just like, that seems to be what's happening in real life. Especially since you have Bill Gates that wants to release genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida. And the mainstream media is saying, no, Bill Gates is not wanting to release genetically modified organisms.
No, he's not wanting to. He is. He actually already has, hasn't he?
I think he already has, too. And the mainstream media is saying, like, oh, no. It's not him that's doing it. It's his foundation that put up all the money to do it. And it's not actually Bill Gates because it's through his foundation. And it's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
But yeah, so essentially, but I couldn't believe it. Like when the movie opened up, and as soon as I saw this guy, I was like, wow, that guy looks like Tim Cook. I've never even seen that guy in any other movie before. Have you seen him before?
Yeah, I've seen him before.
You have? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I was like, this is weird. He looks like Tim Cook.
Yeah, he played an excellent CEO. Like douchebag CEO, basically, was his role. Yeah.
But I think you said it best. It was like this guy that looks like Tim Cook that acted like Steve Jobs and was playing the role of Bill Gates.
100%.
And they even, and the whole thing was like he wanted to control, it was Bayer and Monsanto that represented these companies in the movie. They wanted people to use their seeds in what they're doing, and so he released all the stuff, and it's so insane. Biotech firm
Oxitec
launches controversial field tests of its insects in Florida after years of pushback. And this is the company. Okay, so it's not Bill Gates directly, but Bill Gates funded this company to do this specifically for this. And then don't forget, Bill Gates was speaking in front of all these people and he just opens up a can of mosquitoes and lets it all loose and everyone and all talk. I'm like, it's like diabolical. Like, I can't even fathom how somebody can get away with this. And the media is just like, oh yeah, okay, it's all good because you have Bill Gates paying off the media, you know? So it's all one in hand, but you found some stuff too. So that's like the one aspect of Jurassic Park. The other aspect is the cloning part, right, Rob?
Yes. So,
Here's Bill Gates. Hold on. Here's Bill Gates right here with this jar of mosquitoes. You can play the audio in this.
Yeah, go ahead.
And he's just freaking releasing them in the crowd.
Because it holds things back so much. Now, malaria is, of course, transmitted by mosquitoes. I brought some here so you could experience this. We'll let those roam around the auditorium a little bit. There.
So people are laughing, and then they're like, only stop laughing.
Have the experience.
What the hell? How can people laugh at this? Hey, I'm just going to release some mosquitoes that could potentially contain malaria.
Like, think about it. It's like, I kind of feel like that's that thing that your older brother does that, like, he thinks is funny, but that it's not funny at all. Like,
I would have totally done that.
He's like, you're like, Johnny, what's a wedgie? And then he's like, well, let me show you what a wedgie is. And he gives you one, and then you're like crying or something.
I would have done that to my brother, but my friends probably would have done that to me. So
yeah. No, right. Exactly. So yeah, you know, there's this question that people have, you know, is it possible for humans to clone a dinosaur? And so I did a bunch of research on this. And what I found is that the blanket response from scientists, this gets interesting, okay? But the blanket response from scientists is that DNA basically deteriorates and disintegrates after 7 million years. So Lindsay, you can pull up this earthsky.org article if you'd like. So dinosaurs have been gone for 65 or more million years. And if we're to believe what we know from paleontologists who age things by radiometric dating of the rocks where they find the bones in. And just so that you know, I don't know that the scientists their methods of aging are accurate. We don't know, actually. And if somebody tells you that they know, I think that don't listen to them, because I don't think it's very easy to age using like technology to figure out the age. Okay. So 7 million years back is as far as they can go, according to what modern scientists are saying. Okay. And so who is the guy with the beard, the white beard who created Jurassic Park? His name in the movie was like, began with an H.
Oh my God.
It was like,
it's on the tip of my tongue. Oh yeah, I can't think of it. Everyone's in the chat's gonna say it.
Anyway, this guy in real life, his
Hammond,
character,
John Hammond.
Hammond, okay. So yeah, there's a guy in real life who his character is based off of, and his name's James Horner. Okay. He's the guy that like all of this kind of came from in the 90s with like the idea that dinosaurs might be able to be genetically reproduced, etc.
Okay. Yeah, and actually, if you don't mind chiming in here.
No, please.
In Sega CD, they came out with a Jurassic Park video game, and he was on that game, and that was like one of the first ones that was like a video you could play. Actually, I had that game. I really liked
it. I remember
it.
That.
You remember that game?
Whoa! Blast.
Yeah, and you went around, you found the dinosaur eggs, and you had to look for the clues and everything, and then he would come on and like tell you all the history about you know, in the corner and stuff. Like, it was actually a very pretty advanced game in the 90s for being on Sega CD.
I totally remember that. Holy cow. All right, well anyway. So this guy James Horner, right? He actually has given, so he believes so much that 7 million years is the DNA cutoff, that he's actually started to try to reproduce dinosaurs using chicken DNA. He believes that he actually knows for a fact, this is his words. You can pull this up if you want, Lindsay. It's the Stamford Advocate.
I'm having trouble loading that one. I'm working on it.
Okay, no worries. And it's okay if you don't. I'm just gonna kind of explain this. So he's convinced that he can create a chicken with a dinosaur face just by altering its DNA a little. And he knows how to do it. They just, they claim that they haven't done it, but he showed the entire thing and drawings and everything and how it would be done and exactly what part of the DNA to alter in order to get chickens to be born with a like a raptor face, basically. So like, as if chickens weren't freaky enough, it being born with a raptor face running around would be like terrifying, you know?
Yeah, I would say so too. And actually there is a, in Australia, I just found this out recently. There is a bird that is probably the closest thing to a raptor that we have on the planet. And it's known as the killer bird because it kills people.
No way, really?
I forget what it's called. It's like 4 feet high. It's not very like attractive looking bird, but it's got claws just like a raptor, and it will charge at you and just start like going at you until you're like dead. And it's known to like kill people in Australia. So I'll find out what exactly that bird is, but I actually saw one recently. There's one here at the Miami Zoo. I saw a couple months ago.
Hammond. The guy's name was Hammond, right? In the movie? Yeah,
John Hammond.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, he's now trying to invent basically a dinosaur from modifying existing animals' DNA, and he believes that he can do it. So you know how in the first Jurassic Park, they were able to take a strip of DNA, they found parts of it, and then they filled the rest in with existing animals, and that's how they created the dinosaurs. That's what happened in the original Jurassic Park, which we don't know if it would work, but that's what they say, okay? What he's saying is why not just edit the DNA directly? So, like, and he claims that he would be altering their, like, development process within the egg. And so instead of it going from, because he believes in evolution, so he believes that it's going from, like, everybody thinks started off as a reptilian or something and then ended up whatever they are, you know? So anyway, all of that. So what's interesting, though, is there is all of this, I would say, controversy around whether DNA can actually be extracted from something old. So I start, and like, no matter how many searches I'm doing, Ben, I'm just finding that It's 7 million years. It's not possible. And I'm like, they're not telling us something just because I know how they are. I know how they operate. Right.
Exactly.
So instead of searching for that, I search specifically for, have they extracted DNA from mosquitoes or bugs in amber specifically, because that's what happened in the first Jurassic Park. Okay. Which is based on a true story.
Yeah.
And what I found is very interesting that there are parts of, so there's different parts of the world that have different conditions, first of all, okay? And they have successfully extracted biomaterial from mosquitoes or bugs that got basically entombed in amber. And the age of the mosquito or the bug that was entombed in the amber was 125 million years old. So this was in China that these guys found this and that they started to extract some of this. So actually what these Chinese scientists are kind of saying is that we found biomaterial that wasn't aged. And what they say happened was that it was from a very specific volcano where the ash actually entombed the mosquito before it was, like, I don't know, there's like different things that I found about this, right? But in other words, the findings are not conclusive that 7 million years is as far back as it goes, right? And it is very possible that they could find DNA. There is no DNA existing in any of the bones that they found because the bones have been completely dried out and fossilized. So there's no biomaterial in there. Like, you can't take something from the bone and just recreate a dinosaur. You actually need like organic living substance to take the DNA out of to be able to do something. And so these scientists successfully pulled biomaterial from 125 to 130 million year old insects that were entombed in amber. And so it's given hope again to the community. And what's interesting about this, Ben, is, you know how like no one can really control China? What I think happened is that the Western scientists have been trying to like hide what they can actually do. And the Chinese scientists, they're just allowed to do whatever they want because they're in China, and they end up releasing their information. And then it causes a mess for the Western scientists who are trying to hide a bunch of stuff. And then they have to like try to re-explain themselves or something. So it looks like these Chinese scientists doing this, you know, basically have opened up a new, you know, the probability of actually biomaterial being able to be brought out of some of these old fossilized or, you know, bugs entombed in amber, and you know, we might have dinosaurs, or maybe we already do. I don't know.
That is the big question. Because you know, there is, so I was trying to find the article, it was more of like a drawing, but I don't know if you remember, years ago, there was reports and rumors that people found a dinosaur in Africa, like a straight up, like a, it was either like a brontosaurus. It was kind of like brontosaurus or triceratops looking dinosaur. And then when you look at Marco Polo, he described dinosaurs too, you know, in the world of Tartaria. So we're told that, you know, but, and then when you look at the Incas in Peru, they have all of those giant rocks drawings with people riding dinosaurs, specifically triceratops.
I saw a T-Rex looking one in there too.
And a T-Rex. There's also a T-Rex looking one too. And these are over 30,000 years old. So, you know, and then like a lot of things that we're told about dinosaurs is actually wrong. For example, now they're really like, oh yeah, most of them did have feathers. Whereas, you know, we always thinking they had scales. But now it's coming out, they're more like bird-like than they are lizard-like. So, you know, all of this is very fascinating. So, you know, I mean, the other side will, you know, the elites will do whatever they want to do. And that's why it's like, if they had means or were even considering or had like some kind of sample, it's like, yeah, do whatever, let's create any of this stuff, let's, you know, whatever, let's create monsters, let's open a portal to hell and bring demons here. It's like, I just feel like they have no barrier. Or
let's create a chicken with a raptor face. I mean, you know, yeah, also sure, so why not? I started getting curious. It's like everybody basically, the idea of cloning is so kind of like hidden. Oh, yeah, no, they can't really clone a human being. They haven't been able to do that. Like, this is like all the articles out there that you find. But as early as 2004, there was a cloning experiment that was condemned. And it's a Guardian article. I found this article, or somebody found this article. Maybe it was you, Lindsay. Can you pull this up for me? So this article is really interesting because it actually shows that as back as early as 2004... There were knuckleheads experimenting with cloning. So it says a cloning scientist yesterday rejected accusations that his work was exploitative, unsafe, and socially unacceptable. So here's a guy from Lexington, Kentucky, claims he can produce hybrid embryos by injecting cow eggs with DNA from dead humans. His experiments used DNA donated after bereaved relatives contacted him, said Dr. Zavos. Such experiments would be illegal in Britain. One set of embryos from a man aged 33, thought to have died in a car crash, divided into 64 cells, theoretically mature enough to implant. All right, so it basically kind of goes on and just says, like this guy back in 2004, he knew what he was doing in the lab enough to be able to like reproduce. And now this is just using a cow. Never mind if you were given humans to actually experiment with. I mean,
exactly.
You know, it's, I don't think this stuff is that hard. And then the most interesting thing that was brought up was this, this village of the cloned in Brazil. Have you heard about this? I think you have. So Lindsay and I were talking about this a lot. There was a National Geographic documentary about this one village in Brazil where there is an absurd amount of cloned brothers and sisters. And the story basically goes that Joseph Mengele, who was trying to recreate Hitler's, or tried to create Hitler's perfect Aryan race, was the one that was experimenting with cloning and all of that stuff under the Nazis, right?
Interesting.
He escaped to Brazil, and then he basically had a secret identity as a doctor, and he would visit, like he would do house calls, and he would inject these patients with things, and then all of a sudden this one area that he was around had all of these twins that just came up out of nowhere. Like, we're talking about the percentage of twins in this one area being like something absurdly larger than a normal amount of twins, right? Like, it was like, I can't remember the numbers. There was a really interesting set of numbers, but it is. Yeah. Hold on, let me just look at this article again that Lindsay just put up. Sure. But there was
that, why don't we play a trailer?
Oh yeah, sure. Go ahead, Lindsay.
A vast secret history. A lost ancient civilization. An empire they tried to erase. Tartaria's hidden past is just as fictional as Atlantis. Or is it? Humanoid giants. Magical creatures that shouldn't exist. Dogmen. Centaurs. Magicians. And evil spirits. Why did the Soviet communists remove all traces of Tartaria from their books? Why was it so important to wipe Tartaria off the face of the earth? Take a glimpse into the truth of the past. You were never supposed to know.
So, did Genghis Khan's ancestors and the Tartarians really discover America? Was Tartaria a global civilization?
Forgotten maps. The journals of Marco Polo. Ancient structures. Evidence of advanced technology. Edge of Wonder brings you Tartaria.
I just can't. That Tartaria song is a soundtrack to my life, Ben.
I really do like it. It sounds like something that would be in like Gladiator.
Yeah, so you guys, that Tartaria, totally Gladiator, right?
Gladiator, yeah.
That series is on Rise.tv, and y'all get access to that if you support our work. If you're over here on Rumble watching us, so please do if you can. And otherwise, I mean, we're still here. We're going to be pumping out content.
Yep. And actually, I wanted to, this is that bird, Rob, real quick, it's called cassowary. And dude,
exactly like Janet Yellen.
Just kidding. So no, this bird seriously will kill you. And I never even heard of this before until recently. And there was a guy that was killed in Australia. One got in his yard and he was trying to like push it away and it just went after him and killed him. So this is the most deadliest bird in the world for humans, and it just is very violent. It's crazy, but it seems like it attacks
like a dinosaur. Look at it, literally,
and it like it attacks like a raptor. Obviously
from the side or whatever, and then
yeah, attacks. I mean, we just know from like seeing Jurassic Park, but yeah. Anyway, it's super interesting. And so if you're in Australia, you probably know all about these birds. So.
Okay, so listen to this, these numbers here. Okay, with this story I'm continuing from before the break. Mm-hmm. Candido Godoy, that's the name of the village or whatever, right? Covers 1.5 square miles and is inhabited by 6,000 people, or about 80 families. Currently, there are 44 sets of twins living there. Dude, 80 families, 44 sets of twins.
80 families, 40. That's basically like half.
More than
half. Yeah, more than that.
That's okay. Now that's 100% above the global average for twin births in this one town where Joseph Mengele, like there is one researcher who is convinced that Joseph Mengele was there and has all of this evidence. And then there's people that have been like arguing him on it. Now, this is also very interesting. After Nat Geo, there is a great photo.
Wow.
After Nat Geo published this very interesting documentary, a couple of years later, a geneticist came out and said, oh, I found the reason why they're all these twins. It's this genetic blah, 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 blah. And then everybody wrote it off and Nat Geo took down the documentary, right? The thing is what they were doing, like after Lindsay and I found this out, because we were looking at trying to understand what happened there and why no one's talking about this, you know, what we found out is that that Nat Geo documentary, we think, got way too close to the truth. It was very interesting content, and probably the marketing people were like, oh, this is gold, right? Let's go forward with this. But got too close to the truth. They ended up finding out more than they bargained for. And then they had to have a geneticist come out and give this like gobbledygook reason for these twins to have been born. And then Nat Geo took down the documentary, and you can't even find it anymore.
Really? You can't even?
Yes, I was gonna
ask you.
You can't. It's unavailable to stream almost everywhere I looked, and there was only like a 3-minute clip on Nat Geo. I mean, on YouTube.
Send me the name of it, or like, what if you have the name of it, you can send it to me. I may be able to find it. I can find
It's called Crap. Village of the Cloned by Nat Geo.
Dang, I'm pretty sure. That's crazy. I'll do some searches. I probably
It's called National Geographic Channel tries to solve in its latest documentary Nazi mystery : twins from Brazil.
Dude, that sounds like an Edge of Wonder headline.
Right? No, like Nat Geo so they got too close. Nazi mystery.
It's for sale
mystery.
On Amazon.
What?
It's not on Amazon.
You can buy it for $20.
There's you can DVD. Buy it?
No, I looked.
On DVD.
On DVD. You can go onto Amazon and buy a DVD. The problem is no one has DVD players anymore.
I have a DVD player.
Order it, man.
That's what I mean. Like, I found it on some torrent sites.
I did find it on Amazon, but I couldn't find it anywhere to like stream because I wanted to watch right now, and I don't have a DVD player right now.
That's really fascinating. I'll definitely order it.
Yeah, I got to see this. Can order it and we can watch together while we're in Florida, I'm up for
it. Let's do it.
This is like, that's where all the leads come from, is like stuff like that. You get like a good foundational documentary like that. They'll leave a bunch of stuff open that you can look into, and it's great.
That's awesome. All right. Cool. So I'm excited. We'll get to watch this crazy documentary now. So Lindsay, you can send me the link.
Done.
Or you found it. I could probably get it for you currently legally, but I can find it, I'm sure, on some sites online using.
So yeah, I really like that. Was of the all the stuff that I was researching, after all the stuff that I've been researching over the last like month with the Montauk Project and everything, I just came to the conclusion. I was like, look, Nazis are behind everything. There's a reason why movies just have always Nazis are the enemies. It's because they're still around. They're there.
That's true.
It's so weird. Like, that's such a strange story. And we don't even know what's really going on with cloning. Like, never mind, like with the secret, you know, the secret access programs and stuff, like special access programs. Like, we don't know what's going on there, you know?
No, seriously, we don't. And I mean, another factor of this, it's like the idea that, you know, because there's these FBI documents that came out declassified saying that Hitler went to Argentina or Brazil after everything was over. Right. And so people are like, hey, he's there.
Hitler was Argentina, I think.
Yeah.
And there's tons of evidence, everybody. Tons of evidence that the Nazis were there. Yes.
There is actually. Yeah. And you know, it doesn't like it. When I first heard about it, I was like, yeah, I mean, granted, I don't think he's alive today. I mean, he would be like 300 years old practically, but
I don't think everybody made it. I think guys like Mengele might've, but I don't think Hitler made it.
I honestly do, because supposedly from this document, he got married to somebody, you know, and I think he probably died in the early 60s or something like that. But
actually, maybe you're right. You know, you might be right.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look at certain public figures who I'm not going to mention their name, but if
Janet Yellen,
close enough, but no, not quite her. They supposedly that is one of his daughters. And I'm not going to mention her name here, but you know, it seems all far-fetched, but when you think about Operation Paperclip and how insane it was, let's get all these former Nazi scientists who murdered millions of Jews. Dude. We'll just recruit them. And here we'll just put him in charge.
Isn't it amazing how like the guys in the military get thrown under the bus, and then the scientists who like they were forced to do the same thing as everybody else. There's no difference between a scientist being forced to do crazy things and the military being forced to do crazy things. You're still making your own decision. You're still your own man. You've committed crimes and you need to be prosecuted for it. But somehow you can just talk away the fact that these scientists had so many crimes against humanity. I don't like, that's something crazy about that.
And then they're put in charge of all these different government organizations over here. And then it's like, you no wonder we're having an issue in politics.
The more
right
that
now.
You, dude, the more that you and I research, the more that I feel like it's really the communists controlling everything in the East. It's like the Nazis controlling everything over here. And they're both totally. Forms of communism. They both claim to be the purest form of communism.
And to get away with everything, they just brand everybody on the other side as all Nazi sympathizer.
Yes. If you're against them, you're a Nazi.
Yeah, even though they are the Nazis.
Well, it's just they just have a lot of money, Ben. They just have a lot of money, and they're able to control all of the entities that everybody has access to, and so they can create a scenario.
That's exactly it.
Well, and this is kind of the crux of today's situation, which is and this is what I try to explain to people sometimes. You know, there's a lot of people that are like, you know, capitalism versus communism, blah blah blah. Well, we all know that capitalism is just being weaponized to create communist states now around the world, right?
Yeah.
But the reason, like the thing is that if people really want to change the world, okay, I hate to say this, but the only people that are really able to do something are guys like Elon Musk, because he has a tremendous amount of money. And it's like we're talking about a gigantic amount of money being controlled that can pay for almost anything, any service that it wants in order to get something done. Right?
That's exactly
this it. Is not a fair game. This isn't a fair fight. Yeah.
Not at all. And actually, this kind of goes into a little bit more of the oil series I'm working on. But I mean, kind of talking about how it's like, oh, are these people like controlling? How exactly are they controlling everything? Well, you know, again, like you look at the Bilderberg Group, but I actually read last night the 1973 Bilderberg meeting. It's not even notes. It's the whole meeting that they had and all the speakers and everything that they were saying. What was so mind-boggling about the whole thing.
You got the transcript of the meeting?
Yeah, I found it on the site. And
I really need you to send me that.
Yeah, it's a legit, it's super legit. I mean, it wasn't on some French site. It was like, here, really, this is it. And I found some other ones too, and it mentioned everyone who's there. I checked on the official Bilderberg.org, which is their official site, and the names all checked out. And the whole thing was raising the price of oil. Really structuring how they needed to control the energy. Saudi Arabia and then the 70s was really coming on strong and was becoming a threat now to the oil industry and to everything that they were doing. And they were bringing up the idea that we should make deals with Russia. And they like in return, it was like, we're going to make a deal with Russia. Russia's going to sell the oil back to the American people at a premium price. Therefore, we end up paying Russia back what we owe them and help them with the military. And it was this whole agenda.
That sounds exactly like what's going on right now.
And this is 1973. And I'm like, oh my God, this sounds exactly happening today.
But this is the level of planning that, okay, so when we're talking about how a group like this owns all of the money, you're not talking about luck. Like this happened over a very, very long period of time.
Yeah, and that whole episode is going to get into how that took how that all transpired, what exactly happened, how it fits into the Ford coming in with Henry Ford and building his engines and, you know, whatever, because it's insane. I mean, think about right now, we could be powering our cars with ethanol, which is basically alcohol from fruit and vegetables. So we could literally have potatoes, like, you know, your grandma could have potatoes on a stove making alcohol and then just using that for your car engine, and we wouldn't have pollution, we wouldn't have all these problems.
And grandma would have something to do. And I mean, she's just sitting there, Ben.
Yeah. Or making cookies. Yeah. Making cookies.
Hey, all right. Yeah. No. The cookies need to happen.
But anyway, and just how this whole thing has been manipulated has been, it's just insane. And there's so many things I'm finding out about this all the time. And it's like,
okay,
man.
And you know, what's crazy is like, they're obsessed with life, like preserving their lives, right? Like no one wants to live. Everybody's been obsessed since the dawn of time. People have been obsessed with the Philosopher's Stone, with changing like metal into gold, with immortality, like trying to like biohack their bodies. And it's still like, whether it's the occult, which was like the science of the past that they were using, or actual science mixed with occult stuff, which is what they're doing now, they're still doing the same thing. We don't even know what technology they have out there. And you have guys like Jeffrey, like you have guys like Michael Jackson, obsessed with cloning, right?
Yeah. Cloning. The whole cloning thing that happened, it's still happening in Canada. They said, you know, they were the first ones, I think, to clone the sheep, I think that they did. I forget the sheep's name now. It was a big deal in the early 2000s.
Damn. So, but Ben, Clonaid, right? But then you have the guy from Nixium who's obsessed with this stuff, and then Jeffrey Epstein, who's also obsessed with this stuff and working on like these like side door operations to the things that they're doing, and then they're all mixed with like with human trafficking and all of this stuff. And today, dude, Zach Voorhees sent me this article. It was the craziest, one of the craziest articles I've read in a long time, and it was all about a cult existing within Google that a guy just recently exposed. And it's called like the Fellowship of Friends, and how all of the people in this one group at Google were all from the same area that was like like several miles north of Sacramento, all from this one area. And it basically is like this crazy cult. There's basically like human trafficking stuff, like sexual abuse. It basically like sounds like Scientology within, like something like that within, you know, Google. And like, crazy. It's all this guy talking about how all of these people were in this cult and all this stuff. And I was like reading it right before the live. It was the craziest thing. And Zach just dropped that. Wow. He just like sent it to me. And I was like, what the hell, dude? You know?
Yeah, Dolly. Everyone's on the chat, Dolly. Yeah, but oh, man. Well, I mean, and then as you were talking about this, okay, this is going to sound really far out there, but think about the technology, like you just mentioned, like the technology that they have that isn't public, right? I mean, honestly, we wouldn't even need oil anymore. The only reason why this stuff is not public is because they would all become obsolete. The oil companies would become obsolete. We wouldn't even need them anymore. But so John D. Rockefeller had a goal that he was going to live to be 100 years old, and he died at like 90 something, like 93, 94.
He said he
like
was going to live to 150.
No, he said he was going to live to be 100 years old. You know, that was like his goal. And he set that out. It was like, I'm going to live to be 100. David Rockefeller also almost lived to be 100. I think he died at like 94 or something just a couple years ago. But if you think about all of this and cloning and all these things and using technology, what if they could do some kind of like astral projection and put themselves into another body? You
so
know?
This,
like
is, if, this is the I, whole thing.
I don't know.
Thing
I'm just throwing, if, through technology, you know, I'm not saying that you just can do that. It's like, if they have some kind of crazy alien technology, to use an example would be Avatar, right? At the end of Avatar, it's like his consciousness goes out of his body and into
Avatar. And Ben, I mean, okay, Have you watched the Dunwich Horror?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So what John Todd was saying is that the Dunwich Horror is a very accurate representation of what they do. Okay. And what it was is that basically, like, they have these ceremonies and these rituals where one of these, like, head, whatever you want to call them, wizards, warlocks in the Masonic and or occult arena that they operate in will conceive a child with a woman on an altar in front of a bunch of people. Like, it's a ritual thing, right? And I'm pretty sure they believed that they could in that ritual force a soul into that conceived woman, into the conception. You get what I'm saying? I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I'm stumbling because I'm thinking too fast. But the thing is like, they've been trying to do that for a really long time, whether they do it or not. But it would make sense if they are really confident about what they were doing. Because why would they allow their souls to go into, to be at if their soul wasn't controlled and being put in another body, God would cast it down, or it would have to pay for the karma it's been creating, right? So I think they're really trying to control that whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, based off of these rituals that are like out there, you know, like these weird, like Stanley Kubrick movie rituals that you see them doing, you know?
What was the name of that movie again, you said?
The Dunwich Horror.
Dunwich Horror, yeah.
It was in like, it was like 68 or 73 this movie came out. And it's freaky. Like, they're trying to bring in an old one through like one of these rituals. And they keep saying the name of the old one that they're trying to bring in. It's really weird. It's a really weird film.
That's really weird.
And yeah, and John Todd said that it was like, it was exactly like what they did.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah, I have heard. I'm just looking it up. Yeah, I have heard of this. Oh, it's by H.P. Lovecraft.
The
original storyline.
Well, they pulled elements from it.
Yeah.
They pulled elements in like the name of the...
In the name
of it.
It
was called like Yog-Sothoth or some crazy crap like that. Like,
you know. No, it was actually published in 1929, The Dunwich Horror.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, so he actually wrote that book. So the movie really... Yeah, I mean,
wonder it's so freaky.
Yeah, and this is why they're obsessed with him.
That's crazy.
That must be why they're obsessed with him, because at first I couldn't figure it out, because I was like, it's just a bunch of you know, he's talking about all these demons and stuff. But if he wrote the Dunwich Horror, then that makes so much more sense as to why they're all like crazy about these old ones that he's constantly bringing up. Why the quantum computing guy is always talking about old ones, and what was his name again? That guy,
Jordy Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me wonder really what the Cthulhu really is. Probably some old demon from...
Well, it's like that the Cthulhu thing is that like octopus demon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's like there are some people that say that octopus, like they're just so weird looking that they're alien life forms.
There was a guy that came out, a scientist that came out recently saying that he doesn't believe that octopuses originated on Earth, because as they were studying them, their tentacles, it was like it's like their tentacles have their own like processing power, like almost like it's like they realized as it was feeling things, it wasn't just moving, it was like it would almost like each tentacle has its own brain that's processing and analyzing and like thinking of what it's touching. So it has a central brain, but then it also has these, like the tentacles are each its own independent functions outside of its brain. And they were like, no other organism on Earth does anything like this.
Not even close, dude.
Yeah, not even close. Yeah. So yeah, that's why. And I don't know, I always found octopuses very interesting, and they're extremely smart.
I wouldn't call it interesting. I would call it like terrifying, like get me a bat or like a spear.
Know. They do like taste.
They're scary, man. Well, they are tasty though. If you put, you know what you need, if you have an octopus, you just get a Greek guy to go in there and take care of business, because the Greek know what they're doing with octopuses.
I don't think octopuses are bad, but they do.
I think they are.
Freaky.
Lindsay, weren't you telling me a story about octopus, like somebody did an experiment and was it you?
Octopuses are really weird. They can do things that they shouldn't be able to do.
Yeah, that's,
they can
that's
escape
the
from things that they shouldn't be able to this escape is it. From. They can open things from the inside. Like they can unscrew jars and flatten their true. Bodies through really tiny holes to put their whole body through it. Like
it's really weird. It is really weird.
But there was somebody who did an experiment and like something kept disappearing or dying from its from the room or from a room that the octopus
was in. Oh yeah,
because
not only can they escape, but they're smart enough to put themselves back where they belong so that their keepers don't know they've escaped. They memorize the routes of their keepers.
Interesting.
They sneak out of their tanks, go eat an animal across the room, climb back into their cage, seal themselves back up, and nobody knows.
Wow.
Yeah, we super smart. That doesn't sound like a normal animal, Ben.
I definitely
like those things, they're weird looking, and they're like strangulation, like.
And when you think about aliens, like in pop culture and books and everything, they always have tentacles. You notice that?
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Every kind of even in Stranger Things, it's like tentacles. You know, it's like everything has tentacles. It's so weird.
Yeah, and what was that movie a few years back that
and there's all these references
those things arrived with the tentacles and, like the aliens. It was a really interesting alien movie, actually. It was all about time too.
Oh, with Tom Cruise, the Edge of Tomorrow, right?
No. That's like a robotic weird like thing. This was like man, who was in that? I can't even remember who was in that. It was the guy from Hawkeye from
Avengers?
Marvel. Yeah, what's his name again?
We're really bad with names today.
It's usually that way. There's too much stuff in our head.
Jeremy Renner. I can't think of anyone's name today. So
Jeremy Renner, he was in a movie a couple years back called Arrival. Okay. It was called Arrival.
I actually liked that movie.
That movie was excellent.
Yeah.
It was really good. You remember those things showed up and then they had those tentacles. And it was just like, what?
Everything always has tentacles. Like if you think of like so many different alien movies, they all have tentacles, including like Independence Day. Even what we were just saying, Edge of Tomorrow, same thing. There's tentacles in those things too. It's like everything has tentacles. Men in Black, like all these aliens have tentacles, and it's so bizarre. And it's like, it's like starfish can be kind of a similar thing. I think a lot of sea creatures may not be from Earth. Maybe.
Well, but also the entire sea. Like, think about how different the ocean is, and the requirements for living in the ocean are than the Earth, right? Wouldn't it make sense that if Earth is like the universal incubator that we all think it is, that beings would have been brought from throughout the galaxy to kind of like house the ecosystem there, you know?
Yeah, dolphins is another thing. They actually don't really know exactly where dolphins came from. They just kind of, because they have a very short life, they've been here for a very short time on the planet compared to all these other organisms and in life and everything else. And there's really only first references of them from like a couple hundred, maybe a thousand, maybe up to 1,000 years ago. So all of this is super interesting.
Even the Matrix, the technology is shaped like an octopus or a spider. They all have these tentacles and legs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
It's I don't know. I always like found that weird. I'm like, why is every alien like?
No, but bro, what if there is an occult reason behind this?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm wondering too.
What if those beings are some kind of representation of this Cthulhu thing that?
Whoa.
You know,
the Lovecraft because it lives in the sea.
And it's like he's describing this thing as like an old one, and these things are. It's like.
And you know, everyone's like, oh, we've only studied, why are we on Mars and the moon? We've only studied 5% of our oceans. But it's like, what if they found these things and realized like, wow, none of this stuff should be here, or they found all these ancient ruins. And then it's like, yeah, we're not going to explore anymore because there's too much underwater that we can't disclose.
There's way too much underwater that they can't disclose. Yeah, there are, from what I've heard, there are like cities and stuff under there, right? Completely. And it's like, if they were to disclose what they found under the ocean, the entire world history would change. It's like over. Forget it.
Yeah. Know? Wow.
Well, and then like, why study Mars? It's like, well, if you think about it, it's the closest planet to the Earth. It's the planet that has a potential situation that could house life, like right away with its distance from the Earth. And then there are potential ruins there that they're studying, or technology there from like millions of years ago.
That's really fascinating. Yeah, even in Star Wars, there's a lot of ones with tentacles as well. It's crazy to think about, actually. Like, why? And then, actually, there was a lot of, especially with Rockefeller in the 20s and 30s, when he was developing too much power, like way too much power, and everyone hated it. I guess it was more in the 20s. They were all these cartoon drawings of him as an octopus with those tentacles and like every aspect of like, you know,
because tentacles, man.
Yeah, it's just all of it, you know. And then the 8 is also like a kind of a weird number in the occult world too. It's just super fascinating. It really is. Huh. Very interesting.
Wow, that was really interesting what you were saying about each tentacle having its own like system or something. Like,
yeah, that's what they found with octopuses. That's why it's so weird.
Can you pull up a video of an octopus like swimming? I just want to see it real quick.
Go to a trailer and then I'll.
Yeah, then we'll pull it up. And sounds good. Yeah, let's do that. We have to go over to Rise TV soon too, right?
Soon after the trailer.
Yes.
What'd you say?
We lost you, Lindsay.
What'd you say, Lindsay?
I think we lost her.
We totally lost Lindsay.
So,
in this series, from Edge of Wonder, we dive into neural nets, sentient robots, gene editing technology, smart implants, programmable monkeys, evolution, and social manipulation. Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?
Dude, you got to check out this article. Oh, I have to pull it up. Oh man, this is crazy. I got to show you this thing.
Hey guys, I found an octopus video, but how about we say goodbye to our Rumble audience first?
Before we do that, I just want to show this really quick article, just the headline, and then we'll get into what we're going to talk about here. Check this out. New scientific paper claims octopuses are actually aliens from outer space. This is on Yahoo.
What the heck? This is just recently.
Yeah. This was in July. This was on our weirder news of one of the things that we covered. Octopuses are from space. I know that sounds like the opening line of a cheesy science fiction movie.
Dude, but wait.
That's the main part of the argument.
No, check this out. This is crazy. Like, you know, in all of the UFO kind of like stuff that you and I have studied, that the mm-hmm. Navy actually produces ships that are much closer to being able to travel through space than the Air Force, because the Air Force is terrestrial mm-hmm. stuff, but the Navy has to go underneath the ocean, airtight and everything, right? What, like, think about an octopus is living in the same conditions as a submarine, and the submarines were apparently the spaceships that they were sending out there into space. So maybe they did, like, maybe they can travel easier in the space environment because of the way that their bodies like function. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The
yeah,
conditions
yeah.
of the ocean are actually, in a way, more like space in some ways than
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I mean, the paper is saying that they came here in a frozen state, you know, on like that's what they believe, like maybe on some kind of asteroid or something, and it crashed into Earth's, you know, one of the oceans. An octopus came out. Now, I don't think that's I don't think that's really very accurate. Probably more of like, you know, some UFO crash landed in the ocean and then released their like, you know, octopus type of beings or something. But it is really fascinating. But man, yeah. So we're going to get into more about octopuses, aliens.
Yeah. Hey. If you thought it couldn't get weirder, it probably will.
It probably will, especially since Bill Gates just recently joked about how the Internet Explorer ran out of microchips that's vaccinating everyone. He said that. He actually said that. So we'll talk more about that. And so we dived a little bit more into kind of who wrote the story for Jurassic World Dominion, the third Jurassic Park. And I came across something really pretty awesome from a movie called Safety Not Guaranteed. And it's about time travel, a true story of time travel. This is one of the writers.
So looks we'll like yeah, the next half hour on Rise is going to be pretty dope. So if you yeah. would like to subscribe to us, we'd really appreciate it. Keeps the lights on, keeps us going, keeps us giving you interesting content to take your mind off of psychos trying to ruin our world right now. So yeah. Come join us.
I should say it's based off of a story, and mostly people think it's not real, but there is a meme that's been going around. Everyone knows about the famous time travel meme. So we'll get into all that.
All right. We'll see you over there.
All right.